been through a struggle in my spiritual life, which I came across pretty much like all my life in Krishna consciousness. And it is like that we are used to like listen to Krishna Lila, and especially to the Naimittika Lilas, you know, the pastimes where Krishna kills the demons, and you know, there's a process of anatta nivritti. And you know, I felt a great need of like reading the books of the Goswamis, where it's more described like the more intimate leaders of Krishna. And then I came across a few devotees saying, Prabhu, you're not qualified. How can you read such things? I'm like, but I feel it helps me in my life. It helps me in my bhajan. It helps me in my kirtan seva. So what is the, you know, balance? What is the fine line? What is the qualification actually to read such things? Because I've also heard and read that if we read those literatures, and Krishna Lila dealing with the gopis, it will also eradicate those, you know, dirty desires we have in our heart. So what is the actual qualification, the actual line?
Firstly, your voice and your presentation indicate a deep level of sincerity. Because we have fingerprints, and we have eyeball prints. Nowadays they take eyeball prints for ID cards. They take a picture, eyeball, India, Aadhaar card. And there's voice print. So if I have mud on my feet and I walk around your marble floor, I'll leave my footprints. Oh, there's his footprints. So the voice print, the print of the voice. So what is inside the voice is the bhav. That's why I said my introduction. Your sincerity and bhakti bhajan is indicated by the tone of your voice. That I can perceive. You're absolutely correct. What does it mean to do bhakti, practice bhakti? We have a seed. I got a guru, I got a bhakti lata bija. I got a seed of bhakti. You have a guru, you got a bhakti lata bija. Well, my seed has now sprouted, has some leaves. What about your seed? Oh, I don't know, maybe sprouted, maybe leaves. What is the proof that my bhakti lata is sprouted? Because many people have bhakti bijam, and they go their whole life it doesn't sprout because of aparad. There, they have guru, they have diksha, they have bhakti bijam, they're chanting mantra, but it has not sprouted. It has not shown, it's still in the ground. Bijam in the ground is ankur. It's ankur, it's in a dormant, it's not dormant, it's there, but not showing itself. But you know, you plant, you have a little garden, you plant some seeds, cover a little mud so the birds don't eat. Oh, two little dicotyledon or whatever, two little leaves. Which one is that? Oh, that's lettuce, you know, or whatever. And then gradually growing. So, as more leaves appear on the analogy, it's an analogy, metaphor of the bhakti lata, what are these leaves? Interest in Harikatha, interest in advancement, interest in sadhusanga. All this, and then going, then eventually there's a flower, then there's a fruit, and then there's a ras. Inside the fruit, there's a ras, prem, and prem aswadan, ras aswadan, tasting the liquid of the fruit. Tasting the liquid of the fruit means tasting the mellows and sweetness of prema, which is a mixture of all the different bhavas. We're all from New York, but we have. You like Italian food, I like Mexican food. You like American food, I like Indian food. But we're all New Yorkers. So we have the commonality, there's a oneness and difference. So we have oneness that, okay, we're in a maybe same spiritual mission. We have oneness that we have the same gender. We have oneness that we have the same ashram, maybe, Grihastha Brahmacharya. And we have oneness that we have the same guru. Or we have oneness, we live in Vrindavan. But after that, it's unlimited variety of face and form and feelings and bhav and advancement and outlook. So every individual as Prabhupada said so beautifully, everyone has to fly their own plane. I'm not a passenger in your plane, you're not a passenger in my plane. It's solo. So someone gives some instruction like that, and you know your heart is telling different, and you know your life is going in a different way, you simply fold your hands and say, yes, it's very correct what you say. I agree fully. Because as Jesus said, I often repeated, don't cast your pearls before pigs. You know pig? Sewer in Hindi, sewer. Swine. German is swine. Pig, swine. So because, oh, this is a nice peanut. This is some special Videshi peanut. Indian peanuts, little tan color, you know, little tan, not so pucker white, like pearl is quite white. So let me try it. It must be, Videshi peanut. Oh, it's a really hard one. Videshis are often hard, you know. Someone told Indians are soft, but Videshis are hard. Someone told me that. So the pig is telling you, they're talking. I got it. Oh, this Videshi peanut's a baker. It doesn't taste like Indian peanuts. So, this is the fruit of your bhajan, a gift of Krishna. When Krishna gives himself, he gives his leela. I can give you a demon. You want a demon? I got 20 of them in my pocket. You want a demon? Hey, you want a demon? I got 20. Who you want? You want Putana? I'll give you one. You want your own very own Putana? You want your very own Agasura? Hey, how about Bakasura? He's cool. You want your own Agasura? Ooh, he can slither and slide. And do you want your own Keshi? You can ride him around, have a good time. All right. Bronco. Ride him, Bronco. You want Aristasura? Or do you want Julan Leela? Do you want Ras Leela? Do you want Holy Leela? Do you want Jal Kaili? If you don't mind, can you keep the Karela and the neem leaves and just give me the ice cream and the burfi and the rubbery and the rasgulla and the rasmalai? Oh yeah, sure. It's whatever you like. We're serving everything here. So Krishna's serving everything. So your taste, it's called ruchi. Doesn't mean nishta ruchi. It means your individual taste, ruchi. In anishtita bhakti, in Madhurya Kadambini, there's six symptoms of anishtita. Anishtita bhakti and six symptoms of nishta. There it's telling, in this level of anishtita, which means there's still aparad and there's still an artist, anishtita. There is some nishta, bhakti nishta. There is some bhakti ruchi. There is some bhav, feelings. I cry when I see Krishna. I'm not on a level of, it's not a sattvic vikar. I feel, oh Krishna, I'm such a wretch and I'm so fallen and I'm so grateful. And I'm so repentant for all my sins. And you cry because of your fallen condition. Not because of your elevated condition. Not because you're in bhav. You're crying. Oh, he's a sadhu, he's crying. No, you're crying because you're pouring your heart out to Shyam Sundar or Radharaman. And you're crying. Oh, she's crying. She's a bhava bhakta. Maybe. Could be. Can't say. Better not to judge. It's safer not to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Jesus said. So, that's bhav. Bhav means feelings, sentiments. Rasika bhavuka. First canto Bhagavatam, very first chapter. Who is this Bhagavatam for? This is Bhagavat. Bhagavat Puran with all those demons you're talking about and the Rasalila that you're aspiring to enter. That's all. Who is that for? It's for Rasika and Bhavuka. Bhavaka means those that can feel, those that have bhava, feelings. This is the meaning of bhavaka. It doesn't mean a bhava bhakta. Otherwise, you don't need the bhagavatam. If you're a bhava, you're already bhagavat realized. It's Some people say rasika bhavaka means bhavaka means those who have the capacity to feel, and rasika means those who can taste different sentiments. I can taste anger. I can taste humor. I can taste pathos. I have a taste. This is the Bhagavat's for that. And this is Bhagavat Dharma. This Bhakti Dharma is the Bhagavat. This is our Param Shastra is the Bhagavatam, Mukhya Shastra. So the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, it has the Karela and the Nimlis, but it also has the Rubri and the Rasgulas. When you have jaundice and your liver is not good, then maybe Karela is very helpful, neem juice is very helpful. But when you're healthy and you have appetite and you have ruchi, then you can relish and enjoy the Mahaprasad, burfi, and sweet rice. This is a credit. Why these? When someone says you're not qualified, that means many things besides they don't know what they're talking about. First of all, it means they're ignorant. Second of all, it means they're offending your guru, who may be their own guru. They may have the same guru. You're not qualified. Oh, so that means to say that if we surrender to this guru, you and I surrender to the same guru. So if we serve this guru, it means we'll never become qualified to relish Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're saying I'm not qualified. Well, what guru gives me the qualification? Because it appears from your neck beads and your way of speaking that you've taken diksha from guru. And so, because that's obvious from your whole being. So, if you're with guru, with guru's grace, what we always say, guru on my head, guru's feet on my head, and Krishna in my heart. You open Hanuman's heart, and you see whom? Sita Ram. Ram. Shri Ram, Shri Sita. Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. So Guru Padacharan on the head and Krishna's feet in the heart, then we're successful. So remembering Guru, I offer my pranams, I do Achman, I open the Bhagavatam, I open the Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita. Prabhupada is writing in 1969, the second book that Prabhupada published in ISKCON. In India, he published 3 volumes of the first canto. He published in India, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Came to America, the first book that he published was Nectar of Devotion, 1969, with a donation from Srimad Jayananda Prabhu, Jayananda Dasri. And then, second book he published was Krishna Book, about the same year, or maybe before, one of the two. Later, a year or two later, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And even 2 or 3 years later, Bhagavad Gita, published by ISKCON. No, published by Macmillan, 1972, Macmillan, not even ISKCON. In 1969, in a Krishna book, Prabhupada says, if you want to be fully Krishna conscious, do you want to be fully Krishna conscious? Then you should read books like this Krishna book or Krishna Bhavanamrita. Because Prabhupada, very much like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he would regularly quote his. Throughout his books, Vishnu's tikas are there, although he doesn't mention many times. Most of the time he never mentions. But when you're familiar with the tikas of Vishnu on Gita, and especially Bhagavatam, you'll see in Prabhupada's Krishna book, so many tikas of Vishnu are there. So many. 1969, now it's 79 and 89 and 99, 2009, and no one's qualified still. 50 years later, no one's qualified to read the book. No one's qualified to read the book that was printed 50 years ago by the founder of the movement. Sounds rather strange. So, someone's insulting my guru if they say that I have guru, that's why I have qualification. Why are these feelings coming in me? Why is this attraction coming in me? Why is this interest coming in me? Because I have guru. It's guru kripa. This is the glory of my guru. Why are you putting me down and trying to squash me and strangle, straitjacket me, strangle me, suffocate me? Guru wants me to breathe. Guru's making me expand. Guru's making me reach towards Krishna. Guru's making me go deeper. Guru's creating this ruchi and attraction for me. This is the guru's mercy. It's not mine. You're saying you shouldn't read it. I'm not doing this. When I started in bhakti, I didn't start with Ras Lila. Guru didn't give me that access. I read about Keshi. I read it, and I really liked it. And Bhaktivinoda gives his own unique idea, but we can accept it as his realizations, as his anubhav, as a great saint. Goswamis don't mention anything about this, but he talks about the 20 anarthas and what they represent, and Krishna Samhita and Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and primarily these two books. And we've also written about it in our books, Appreciating Vrindavan. I have a summary of all the 20 demons and what they represent. That's his unique viewpoint. So it has value because of the Bhagavatam is purifying. So any contact with Bhagavatam will become beneficial. So, as Prabhupada often said, the dogs may bark, but the wedding party will keep on moving down the street. Boom, boom. You ever see in India, they're really loud. Those huge speakers and the peacock band. And the guy up there with his little Casio. Hey, they're so talented that they can't sing and play at the same time. Can you imagine Indra leading a kirtan? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. That's how they all sing. They can't play the Casio and sing at the same time. I've been coming in here for 40 years. I said, there's no such thing as a Western musician that doesn't play. Some are just singers. You know, but if they play the musical instrument, they can sing at the same time. Yes? You ever pick up a kartals? You're a kirtan. So this is, and that guy has a good voice. Don't get me wrong. The Indian guys have a great voice, but somehow they can't cross that gap. Have you ever noticed? They're singing really good. I mean, they're Indians. They have a good swara. Ah, la, she loves me. You know, the love song that... And they're really wailing on that Casio. You know, 10,000 watts. You know, you're 2 miles away going like this. 2 kilometers away coming down the street. Oh, no. But then... Only in India. Yeah? In Russia, they do like that? You saw her anywhere? Vishesh. I love my India. What makes India India? That's the hardest part, is getting court. That's what, when you're practicing the instrument, that's the hardest part, to introduce the mixer, doing the mixing. You know, you're a one man mixer. You know, first you're learning sa re ga pa da ni sa sa ga re sa ga re da 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 sa ga re Hare Krishna Krishna Hare. Oh, usually, even in Chaitanya. Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, I really bang at everybody. I know him very well. Bang on me, too. I bang back, because I'm also American. Other people say, yes, Andrew, not me. But bless his soul. And bless me for remembering him. So, but we see, actually speaking, with all respect to the great kirtan, a leader. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Lila, 500 years ago, the mridanga players never sang. Never. You can see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was The proof of that is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is arranging for the 7 kirtan parties. There's 4 parties in front, right in front of Jagannath. There's 4 parties because that's where Lord Chaitanya is. He wants to be in the middle of the action. I want 4 parties. Then, okay, you guys go in the back. 1 party in the back of Jagannath, 1 on this side, 1 on that side. Balaram, Subhadra, I don't know. Some Oriyans can go there. But my Antaranga Bhaktas, my team, my Kirtan Mahaprabhu's Gauranga's Kirtan Mandali, 7 parties. So then he told, okay, you dance. Okay, Haridas Thakur, you sing, you're the singer. You four play Mardanga. You play Mardanga. You 4 kartals, you accompany him and Mardanga. So he appointed singers and he appointed Mardanga players. So Mardanga players didn't chant. Very rare. Even today, in a Bengali Kirtan Mandali, Mardanga player rarely chants. Usually it's a harmonium player of kartal.
Chants means like
leaving? Opening his mouth. He's just saying da 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 gi da 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 di. He's just there. I never heard. If they watch, sometimes they chant. But you know, it's kind of everybody. You know, some dog's going by. You grab the dog, chant. But not that you should change whatever is the system over there. You should carry on, that not to make waves. But we should also understand the history. That I see many, you know, kirtan parties, you know, Indian parties, Mardanga players. You can see, you must see sing. They're busy like this. Even as Pakawaj, you go to Ras Leela performance, Jai Shingara, you know, the Pakawaj guy. The guy's playing tabla. I hardly ever see him singing tabla wallas. You know, the Kirtan Mandali for the Ras Leela troops. There's Fateh Krishan harmonium, and then there's some other person playing a second harmonium singing. And some in Pakawaj, traditional Indian drum, Pakawaj. I don't know, what's the question? Oh, we're asking about, oh yeah, reading Ras Leela. So certainly you have the green light in Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami Pad and his commentaries and his tika on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is talking about the Panchanga Bhakti. He's talking about Bhagavat Shravan, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So powerful. Then Jiva Goswami says in his tika, because Rupa Goswami asked Jiva, Jiva's a Diksha disciple of Rupa. Rupa's a Diksha disciple of Sanatan. Sanatan took Diksha from Vidya Vachaspati. Vidya Vachaspati is a Diksha guru of Sanatan. And Sanatan is Diksha Guru Rupa, and Rupa is Diksha Guru Jiva. And Gopal Bhatta, he took, I'm not sure who he took from, not any of them. And then Raghunath Bhatta, I'm not sure. Maybe his father or someone, I'm not sure. Maybe Gopal Bhatta took from his father, Venkata Bhatta, I can't say. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask, who is the Diksha Guru of Gopal Bhatta? They may say Lord Chaitanya or something, but as the people, Lokanath, Narottam Parivar, they say Lokanath took from Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't. He actually took from Advaitacharya. But they don't say that. And they call it Narottam Parivar, which means disciples of Lokanath, and they say when you meet them that Lokanath took directly, but there's no history anywhere in any Shastra Lord Chaitanya gave Diksha to anyone, including Lokanath. But they say, so we respect that. The only praman we have that says differently is by an associate of Advaitacharya who wrote the story of Advaitacharya, Advaita Prakash. And there it says Advaitacharya gave Diksha to Lokanath. But hundreds of years ago they accepted that, but then over time Narottam became so prominent it's not even Lokanath. It's not Advaita Parivar, it's called Narottam Parivar. That's some history point. At any rate, so this, when he's commenting there, Jiva Goswami, about the Bhagavatam, he says, Rupa Goswami has asked me to comment. So Rupa Goswami is saying we should hear the Bhagavatam while living in Vrindavan, or anywhere. It's most powerful. But what he means to say is we should concentrate on the 10th canto. And on the 10th canto, especially the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Madhurya Leela. Venugit, Venugit, Gopigit, Pranayagit, Brahmargit, and Virahagit. These are, of course, Rasa Leela. And some of these Gitas are in Rasa Leela. Pranayagit is chapter 29, Pranayagit. Chapter 31 is Gopigit. And chapter 35 is Yugalgit. Chapter 21 is Venugit. Chapter 39 is Virahagit. And chapter 47 is Yugalgit. Brahmargit. So these five or six Gits are specifically talking about the gopis, and the whole Pancha Prana, the Bhagavatam, the Rasa Leela, they're all about the gopis. These are very anukulya for Gaudiya Tattva Siddhanta, for the Sadhya. Sadhya means the goal of Bhakti Bhajan as a Gaudiya Vaishnava. The goal of Bhakti Bhajan is to serve Radha Krishna Govinda in the Kunjas of Vrindavan. This is the goal. So to get there, we have to become sheltered and surrendered and followers of the lotus feet of the gopis. Rupa Rati. Tulsi Mandri, Rupan Raghunath Goswamis, and all their writings and teachings. So it starts with the Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam fructifies. Bhagavatam is like the tree of Madhurya Prema. The Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Vrindavan Leela, is the tree of Madhurya Prema. 10th canto is the tree of Madhurya Prema, and on that tree there are fruits of Sakirati, friendship and motherhood, and Dasya, servitude. And then there's the fruits of the Sringhar Rati, Sringhar Leela of Radha and Krishna. So we are worshippers of Radha and Krishna, Yugal. Lord Chaitanya is a Radha Krishna Upasaka. Six Goswamis are Radha Krishna Upasakas. And they're not worshipping Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha. Girivara Dari. So you're correct. Oftentimes, when you're swimming upstream, everybody tells you you're going the wrong way. As they say in America, dare to be different. Dare to be different. Dare to be great. So the masses may go that way. You're going that way? Good. I'll go that way. Follow your heart. Follow your guru. Respect others' opinions. Don't be judgmental. Don't argue with anyone. Just say yes, yes, yes. You're living in India for some time or a short time or any time. One thing you should learn from Indians, always say yes, yes, yes. Always say yes, 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 and do whatever you want. Say yes, yes, yes. Don't tell what you really feel about anybody or anything, and then do what you want. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. You're right, you're right, you're right. Okay, goodbye. And then all the 10 things he told you not to do, okay, this is the first thing he said not to do. Okay, I'm doing that. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing he said not to do. I'm doing that. He gave me a good reminder of the 10 things I have to do. Don't read the Leelas of Radha Krishna. Don't go to Radhakund. Don't associate with Babaji's. They're dangerous. Is right? Yeah. He's a Brahmin. He's a Sakshi. Brahmins are Sakshi, witness. He can testify. Certified danger man. You have to seek out your fortune. Vrindavan is full of gems. The ocean is full of gems and jewels. But they're not on the surface. On the surface is algae, spirulina. Very good. Spirulina makes you very strong. But if you gather a bunch of spirulina and you dry it out and you take it to the marketplace and try to buy something, you won't get much. But if you go a little deeper in the ocean and you catch some fish, And you go to the market, you'll get a few rupees. And you can eat them too if you're that type of person. Get some good energy. If you go even deeper in the ocean, you'll find pearls, diamonds, gems, rubies, all kinds of things in the ocean. In the African coastline, gems wash up from the ocean on the beach. Emeralds, yellow sapphires, uncut. And there's a whole 150 kilometers of beach. I think it's called the Ivory Coast or the Gold Coast. One of the coasts of Africa. Today, right now, it's owned and controlled by the government, patrolled by machine guns and everything. And certain nakshatras, the waves wash up on the beach, and the beach is full of gems. And the government, they collect them all. That's part of the national treasury. Today, we'll just speak in Vedic times. So the ocean, nidhi means gems, and nidhi means ocean, because the ocean produces gems. Sometimes they're great gems. Diamonds and costly things. So the Vrindavan is like an ocean of gems. So if you're only on the surface, you're just getting a spirulina. You have to go deep. So many great sadhus are there. I don't... And it's obvious on YouTube and everywhere amongst the people, you can ask who are the leading sadhus and great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And people that know, they know. And you can find out and go see them and meet them. And I know many people in famous worldwide spiritual missions that whenever they come to India, they're full-on members of, upstanding members of different spiritual missions. When they come to India for 2 weeks or a couple weeks in Vrindavan, they spend like half their time in Barsana with some famous Babajis, listening to their kirtan, being with them. And they go back to their countries and fully serve their mission after collecting all that mercy from these great saints and sadhus. It goes on. I know them very much, who they are. I know some of them, let's say. So these gems are there, but the gems don't come to you. You have to dive. You have to dive in the ocean. You discover them. They don't have neon signs, big signs. Gems. Arrow going, jing, gems. You go to Jaipur, they have all these shops selling gems, and big gems here, gems. So let's give prasad, everyone. There's some perfume. One last question.